Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I suppose we could get real technical today, and I could explain to you all about those names of those cities. Even Nicholas Johnson, the elector, came up beforehand and said, how do you say Zebulun and Naphtali? We could talk about all these names, what they mean. Jesus went and withdrew into Galilee. Think of the region around the Sea of Galilee, up north in Israel. We could talk about him leaving Nazareth. That's the place where he lived most of his life, in Nazareth. That's where he grew up. And he withdrew into Capernaum by the sea. As an adult, that's where he lived, in Capernaum by the sea. He's near the sea areas. In the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Where's that? Well, remember, Israel was divided up into 12 tribes, and they all had land distribution. That's also close to the region of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus does most of his life and ministry near the Sea of Galilee, occasionally going down to Jerusalem, but most of the time he's up in the Decapolis in the region of Naphtali and Zebulun, those two sons of Jacob that we hear about in Genesis. That might make for a great lecture. I could just lecture about all the territories and places in the Bible that you've never been. But it doesn't make for a very good sermon. So, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. The purpose and the preaching. Jesus withdrew into Galilee, into this region, for a purpose. Simple. Jesus was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. Where he goes is almost as significant as who he is. For the prophet Isaiah foretold, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And in the shadow of death on them a light has dawned. So just think. If Jesus would have remained in Bethlehem all his days, he was born in Bethlehem, just stayed there, just think of all these Old Testament prophecies that would have gone unfulfilled. But no. As it is, the places and the people to whom Jesus goes reveals epiphanies, manifests for us, our ears and eyes, that Jesus is more than a prophet, more than just words foretold, of a coming one. He is one who fulfills the prophetic message that God wrote down by the prophets to a T. Even going to Zebulun and Naphtali and Galilee by the Gentiles, so and so, he is fulfilling Isaiah's word perfectly. He is more than a prophet. He is Messiah. And there's a difference. He epiphanies God's fulfillment of truth foretold by where he goes and by what he says and does, so that we, hearers of God's word today, have the assurance that God's word works, that God's word is fulfilled, that God's plan and purpose for which he lays out in Scripture for us and for our hearing really does come to truth, really does have historical, real-time fulfillment. There is not the story of Jesus. There is only the truth of Jesus, the fulfiller of truth that God's word even spoke beforehand, so that we would know the truth. He is God's word come to life in our world for our sake. May our hearts believe and doubt it not. Speaking of preaching and not lecturing, Jesus began to preach in the text today. Not only did he just fulfill the places Isaiah said he would go, but he also began to preach. Thus far, we've only heard about Jesus this year being born. That was Christmas. And then we heard about the Magi coming to find him. That was Epiphany. Then we heard about Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. Yay, wonderful revealing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the waters of the Jordan. So now we hear the new thing Jesus begins to preach. He's not just come to simply teach, to teach about the regions of biblical old things. Not just teaching, he's there to preach or proclaim. The unique discipline of theology is preaching, proclamation of God's truth. Not with eloquent words or lofty rhetoric, he begins the message picking up where his forerunner, John the Baptist, left off. What was John the Baptist's message? What was Jesus' first message as he begins to preach? Simple two-part sermon. Repent, for the kingdom of God, second part, is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. Repent, the first part. Turn around. Turn back to God. Return to him, you wayward people who are sitting in darkness. Jesus wants to help restore a real relationship with our Holy Father, and that requires repentance, turning around, turning back to God. We are the ones who've gone astray, not God. He's been faithful. He's been there and present. This is his promised land. This is his holy place. These are all the regions in which he called his old people of old to live and dwell so that the Messiah would come. He's been there. We need to return and find him. Even Gentiles came from afar to find him. What about us? Repent. Turn back to God. Turn from your evil ways. Sorrow for sin and trust in God's mercy to still receive us as his children. Repent. Turn back. He'll listen. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Second part. As Jesus comes into his role as preacher, he proclaims not just knowledge and facts, and just Jewish laws and little things you should do just to be the perfect Jew. He brings with him the kingdom of heaven. That's something no other preacher has done in the past. He brought with him the kingdom is at hand, he says. It's here. It's now. It's in your hearing. He, our Lord Jesus, is the presence of the king on earth. And where the king is, there is the kingdom. Where Christ dwells, there is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the kingdom. Where Christ was on the cross, what did they put on his forehead, on his head? A crown of thorns, mocking him as the king of the Jews. Ironic, because he was. And in suffering for us, he shows what kind of king we have. Our God, our King, our Lord, is a suffering friend for you. He desires us to be in his kingdom without end. This isn't exclusive, we'll see if you're good enough, but I'm here to ask you to repent, turn around, come back, and dwell in the kingdom of heaven. He teaches us to pray what in the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come. We learn that the kingdom comes without itself, without our prayer. But we pray that it come among us also. That's why he teaches us to pray it. That we learn to live holy lives here in time and there in eternity. But Jesus brings the kingdom to us and his preaching delivers it. He doesn't just talk about it. The powerful preaching of Jesus the King also reveals its power by its effect that it had on its hearers. People did repent. People did, Jews and Gentiles, believe that the kingdom of God was at hand. And it was different than what the religious system of their day was doing. They heard Jesus preach and they witnessed his miracles. And some of his hearers were forever changed by a simple, powerful invite that his word, his preaching, worked in them. All he had to say was this, follow me, to Simon and Andrew. And they followed. Follow me, and I will make you, you old fishermen, fishers of men. They immediately left their boat, their nets, and they followed immediately. I mean, they didn't know what they were getting into. There was no brochure. Here's what you're about to go through. There was no one to ask, oh, is this safe? Is this right? Is this a con man? Has anybody else traveled with them? Are we sure we should do this? Yet they followed. It's an epiphany, if you will. What, these two guys are just going after him just like that? Jesus' powerful word prompted them to follow by faith, not knowing where they were going, not knowing what was to come. They followed him by faith. James and John, similarly, they left their father in the boat and followed Jesus. Finally, the fulfiller of God's word, the preacher, the one who says, follow me, with followers who followed by faith, began to show his other skill in this text today too, healing. Healing. He began to show that he could heal every disease and every affliction of the people. This man doesn't just talk the talk about the kingdom of heaven being in your midst. This man doesn't just talk about what it's like to be a holy man and to live according to the word and to be kind and gentle. This man, his word works wonders. And people marveled. And his fame, it said, spread. Come, follow me, says our Lord Jesus to us through his word today. That same powerful word he preached long ago is written for our learning, for our ears to hear. Our word, if we invite somebody to come follow, it doesn't work. It's like us trying to herd cats. They just don't come, right? But Jesus' word is proven powerful already. Besides, he gives us gifts to repent, his Holy Spirit. He gives us gifts to know his kingdom is at hand, by the hearing of the word, by the Holy Spirit verifying in us his truth, and by giving us his gifts here at the table. And it spread, and it spreads still, and hearing hearts believe and doubt it not. May we follow this powerful preacher and healer out of death and into life. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and protect your hearts and keep them in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us praise the